Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
What we're doing today has been done for a long time. The public reading of Scripture, very important. And I'm going to read to you from the book of Luke today. And it is me reading about Jesus and Jesus reading about Isaiah. So it's reading about someone reading about something else. So it's publicly reading someone else doing a public reading. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 14, just to give us a bit of context before we hear what Jesus is speaking to the people in his public reading. And then we're going to go to verse 21. So I'm reading from the New International Version. So if you've grabbed a Bible from in the room, that's probably the same version, hopefully, that what I'm reading out. But if you've got something different, just translate in the wording difference. It should actually come through very similar. It starts, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Did you know that it was common in this time of Jesus for the person reading the scripture to stand up? We hear it in this passage. Jesus is standing up to read the scripture publicly. And he's doing this in the synagogue. But did you also read the part where Jesus sat down after? It was actually commonplace for the person who was teaching or giving a message, or we call it a sermon these days, but back then it was the teaching around the scripture. They actually sat down. So I've stood to read the scripture today, but I've also brought myself a chair. So in light of how Jesus brought this message to his people in those days, I'm going to sit on a chair. But I think I've got a picture. Is there a picture there, Megan, of a synagogue in Jesus's time? All right, so you can see that in there. I'm going to sit down. You probably will lose my head for a minute. Oh, no, there we go. You won't lose my head. Aha. Oh, goodness, this is a bit high now. I think I need to... There we go. That's better. All right, you can still see me. Cool. So this is a synagogue in Jesus' time. So this synagogue is a place of gathering. And so this was in the time of Jesus. They would meet together on a weekly basis, usually on the Sabbath, which is a Saturday. And so you see these, you know, columns of, they're the pillars basically holding the building up. But there's a space in the middle. And the space in the middle is where the person would stand and read the scripture out. That would be where they would stand, in the middle of everybody. And you see the step sort of things on the sides, they are where the people would sit. And so it was a rectangular building, and so everybody was facing into the middle. And so they were facing the person who was speaking, but they were also facing each other. And I like that idea. I like that we can all face each other. I was going to set it up like that today, but I thought, oh, it might be a bit difficult with the camera angles and everything, and just in case we couldn't fit everyone in that way, and I thought, oh, we don't have steps going up the side, and then I thought, maybe I should sit on the steps going up to the platform just to be truly like Jesus would have done and sat on the steps, and I thought, no, you're not going to see me because I'm too short. The camera won't be able to see me. So I've sat on a chair. Doubt that they would have had comfy seats like this. You can see there, it's probably concrete that they sat on. And so they didn't have the luxuries that we have today of beautiful seats and comfy chairs that we can sit in. But I do actually remember when I went to India. And in India, they obviously don't have some of the luxuries that we have today. And some of the churches there, they actually sit on the floor. All the congregation people sit on the floor. And this one church that I went to was really mind-blowing, the devotion of the people. And it was a room that was really small, probably a quarter of the size of this room, and concrete floors. And there was probably nearly 100 people squished in. And they're all sitting on the bare concrete floor. Not one of them were complaining about having to sit on the floor. And they were all squished in. And India is quite warm. If you've ever been to India before or anywhere that's quite subtropical, it's really hot. And there's no air conditioning in a lot of their buildings. I think they may have had a ceiling fan. But all these people were squished in, eager to hear the word of God. And it was so humbling because, you know, we kind of have all the modern things and we still kind of get a bit cranky with certain things, or, you know, it's too hot or it's too cold, or, you know, someone's sitting too close to us. These people were all squished in a really hot environment, a bit like sardines in a can. And, you know, older people, younger people, families all gathered together to hear the word of God and worship together. And just their dedication, despite the lack, you know, of the simple luxuries that we often take for granted. But back to that picture, we can bring up that synagogue again. This was Jesus' time. So, you know, they all gathered together. And this word synagogue actually is not necessarily a Christian or a religious word. It actually means gathering. So it didn't even mean a building. It was about gathering, collecting, coming together, assembling. And so a bit like the church, we use the word church to describe a building today, but the church was actually the people. It's the gathering. It's the people who make up the church. So it's a bit like the synagogue. And the synagogue, you know, there was secular synagogues, the places of meeting. There were community centres where people could come and gather together. And the synagogue that obviously was used for Jewish worship was a place to gather together for worship on the Sabbath. But it was also a place where people who had needs could come and know that people would actually care for their needs. And so we see Jesus doing so much healing in the synagogue because people were coming with all their needs and Jesus healed people. And he copped a lot of flack from the religious leaders about healing on the Sabbath. But it was the purpose of Jesus's mission and ministry was to bring healing and bring freedom to people. And what better place to do that when people were coming with their needs to this place already? And so it made me think, our churches need to be like that. It's not just a building, it's a gathering of people. It's where people come together and where people who have needs in our community can come and find a safe place where they can find healing, where they can find community, where they can find people who care. That's what churches were designed for people to gather together and find a safe place. So this scripture today that we read was in this synagogue with a weekly regular place of worship. And the Old Testament passage that Jesus is reading is from the book of Isaiah. And he's only reading two verses from the book of Isaiah. So it's chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And the first line that we read today speaks about the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is a really key theme in the book of Luke. It's like he's really wanting to let his readers know the Spirit of the Lord is important. And in Luke chapter 1, we read about how the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary in order for her to become pregnant with baby Jesus. And in chapter 2, we read about the Holy Spirit coming upon a man called Simeon, and he was blessing the baby Jesus in the temple. So again, the Spirit came upon Simeon. And in chapter 3, we read about Jesus' baptism, where the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove upon Jesus. So we see throughout the book of Luke already this Holy Spirit coming upon people, coming upon Jesus, and being a real connection point linking Jesus and the Spirit of the Lord. So when Jesus is reading this scripture out, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," he's basically saying, "I am God," to these people. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I have come from God, and I have an important message because the Spirit of the Lord is on me." And he's basically speaking his mission and what his job is in the world through the scripture of Isaiah. And it says, "Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." And this word anointed, we think, well, that's a very tricky word that we don't really hear very often. Anointed basically means he's chosen, and it's chosen for a very important position. So kings were anointed to become a king. People in religious positions were anointed, sometimes with holy water, sometimes with oil, for a specific purpose, a really important job. And Jesus is basically chosen to be God's instrument. God chooses Jesus to come to spread the good news about who he is and what he is bringing from God. So he's come to preach, and he's come to tell people what this good news is. And specifically, he says, to the poor. And he's also come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recover the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So this word proclaim, we don't often use that word too often these days either, but it's used a couple of times in this passage. Proclaim, it means to announce officially or publicly. And so he's standing in the synagogue, publicly announcing what it is he's proclaiming. He's proclaiming some big things. That he's proclaiming freedom, he's proclaiming release, he's proclaiming bringing sight publicly in the synagogue. He's saying who he is, because the Spirit of the Lord is on him, that he is the Messiah, he is the chosen one from God. But he's also saying what he's about. He's saying, my job is to bring freedom. My job is to recover the sight of the blind. My job is to release those that are oppressed. So when we break this scripture down, Jesus is declaring his concern for four key groups of people: the poor, the prisoners, the blind, and the oppressed. And now we think of the poor being the physically poor, but Jesus is not just referring to those who don't have material things, but he's also referring to those that may be poor in spirit. Those that maybe don't have any friends or any family or anyone who cares about them. Maybe they have an emptiness within inside them. Emotionally poor, spiritually poor. Jesus is declaring good news to them. He's basically saying that he can provide for them what they do not have or what they are lacking. So sometimes that is physical things, but quite often it's things of the spirit or things of emotional or things of community that they do not have. And then the prisoner. The prisoner is not just somebody who's locked up in a physical building of a prison. People are held captive to many other things in this world. Back then there were certain things, but today we see prisoners to addiction. We see people captive to debt. We see people that are prisoners to trauma, to poverty, to slavery, to bad relationships, to physical health, to mental health, to anger, to pain, to hurt, and the list goes on. We can be prisoners of so many things in today's world. And the blind, it's not just about a physical blindness, and though we read in the scriptures, Jesus certainly brought sight physically to many people who had physical blindness, but he spoke more about the spiritual blindness and people who are living in darkness. And there are people who, through circumstances, have been trapped in those dark places, unable to see a way out, unable to see a God that loves and cares for them, unable to see the light, unable to see Jesus. They could be blinded by sin or guilt or doubt. The oppressed, the fourth category he addresses, includes people that are oppressed by other people or from circumstances or systems or governments. It's where people have been treated unfairly or harshly. They may be exploited by others and treated as less than human and sometimes less than a living creature. We sometimes see this in society, systems or government, not just with individuals or people. Like segregation and slavery in the past, we've seen these unfair systems cause oppression for certain groups of people. Jesus came to speak out against these type of injustice in our world. And we spoke about human trafficking earlier, and our focus of our prayer for today is that is a system. It's not just the people. It's a system of greed. It's a system of wanting to profit from people. And that causes oppression for men, women, and children throughout our world and even here in Australia. So when Jesus was reading this scripture, it caused people to sit up and notice. And we read earlier, it says, the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. You know, they were intent. They were listening. He was a captivating speaker. He had authority when he spoke. Jesus was saying that he was the person, the Messiah, who was coming to save them. And they had been waiting a long time for this promised chosen one to come and save them and save the Jewish people. Verse 21, the last verse that we read, says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But the Message version I really love, and it says, you've just heard scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. The idea that Jesus spoke something that was coming true right there, right now. And Jesus was not only proclaiming who he was, but also that these are the things he is doing and has done and is doing right now. Right there, Jesus was saying that he would bring hope to all these people. He was bringing hope for the poor, hope for the oppressed, hope for the prisoners, hope for people in captivity, hope for those that couldn't see. He was declaring freedom for them all. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, we sang earlier. Jesus was setting his people free in that very moment. So maybe you feel something has spoken to you. Maybe you feel like you identify with one of those areas. Maybe you feel that you are poor or that you're a prisoner to something or you're blinded or that you're oppressed in some way. Jesus is wanting you to know that he can release you from these right now. Today, this scripture was fulfilled. Not just back then, it was fulfilled already. So it is still fulfilled today. Today, he is proclaiming the good news for you. He is able to give you freedom. He is able to recover your sight. He's able to release you from oppression. And today, Jesus is using his church to bring that same message to the world. Because Jesus lives in each of us now. We get the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. And you. And you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We have this same mission. To proclaim things. To announce publicly that God brings freedom. We are the church that can proclaim these things. We are his believers, his people. And he's given us the Holy Spirit for this reason, to be empowered by it, to stand and proclaim to a world that desperately needs to hear the good news. A website I was looking at, workapreacher.com, says the good news that Jesus proclaims, and thus the good news that Christians proclaim, must be good news to the poor, to the economically disadvantaged, and to the marginalised of our society. So it's not just about the physical material stuff. It's about people who are marginalised, people who don't have those connection spaces, don't have people who care about them. We are to be those safe places where people can find what their needs are. Jesus did not say that he has come to make the rich people and the people who have it all together feel better about themselves. Actually, he speaks quite harshly against people who are rich and says it's hard for them to actually get into heaven. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And I haven't seen a camel for a while, but they're pretty big. And the eye of a needle is really small. So he's basically saying that it's hard for rich people to get into heaven because they're so worried about being rich that they actually forget why they are to be followers of Jesus. Jesus was and still is concerned for those who are the outcasts and the forgotten people. Jesus has come to bring freedom to those who need it. Jesus was declaring himself here as the Messiah for the Jewish people. But he also, we've stopped reading at verse 21, but his message continues through the following verses. And he's actually including the Gentiles, who are the people who are considered the non-believers. They're the non-Jewish people. And the people in the synagogue, you know, thought he was really great to start with, that, yeah, he's coming to set us free. And then when Jesus starts saying, you know, it's about the Gentiles as well, they got a bit narky and they got really annoyed. They were like, no, this guy has come for us. He's not come for everybody else that doesn't believe. And they, you know, Jesus was a bit harsh in saying, well, you know, years ago I sent prophets, just like Isaiah and other people, to proclaim God's message, and you didn't always listen. And they were like doubly mad because they were like, what? You're coming for other people and now you're telling us off because we don't listen to you? We didn't listen to God? So they got really narky. And you know, they actually got so narky that they drove him out. This was his hometown, Nazareth. They drove him out to the edge of a cliff and they wanted to push him off. That's how angry they were at Jesus, because he wanted to include other people and because he was harsh in saying, you know, you haven't always done the right thing. How are we reacting as a church? Are we thinking that God is just for us? That God should be just caring for us? Or should we be expanding our vision and knowing that Jesus is for the outcasts in our society? For those who don't even know who Jesus is yet, Jesus' mission is for them. Do we only want God for ourselves? Do we want outsiders to actually be part of our church? Do we deserve to be saved more than they do because we believe? So how is the church, can we assure that we are preaching this good news to the poor? How is the church proclaiming freedom for prisoners? How is the church ensuring the recovery of sight for the blind? And how is this being fulfilled today? Verse 19 says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Now, this year of the Lord's favour is often known as the Jubilee year. And it's a reference to a practice or a tradition in the Old Testament. And every 7 years, you know, when people were working agriculturally and they all had land and they were growing things, and every 7 years they were to leave the land from work. They were, you know, it was a Sabbath. It was a year of rest. You know, the people rested, the animals rested, and the land rested. And so every 7 years they would have this rest. And then when seven lots of 7 years came, it was this big year called the Year of Jubilee. It was a year of freedom. And it was a year where slaves, who were often the workers, would be allowed to be set free. And the land would be returned to the original owners. Because a lot of people got into debt. You know, it's no different today. People get into debt. Back then, people got into debt, sometimes from circumstances, sometimes from, you know, poor management, sometimes from droughts, those sorts of things. And so people who became in debt, they couldn't work their land anymore because they were too in debt. And so they would become slaves to, say, a neighbouring farmer or someone else who had more land or who had more provision. And they would basically be working off their debt. And God instituted and saw that this was a space where people could actually become entrenched and never get out of, because, you know, maybe their debt would never be paid and they would never then have land again and they would never get on their feet again. So God instituted this year of Jubilee, which actually worked out 50th. So sometimes we hear, you know, when the Queen had her Jubilee year, it was her 50th year of coronation. So this, it was 50 years, and then the land, all debts were cancelled. So no matter what your debt was, big or small, was cancelled. You didn't have a debt anymore. And so everyone who had become a slave because of debt, or they would be freed. And then they would actually get their land back that they had to give up because of their debt. So they could start again. So God was about letting people start again. Even though they'd got into debt, every 50 years he said, nope, this is the year. And so when Jesus is proclaiming this year in the temple, the people knew about this Jubilee year, that it was about setting people free, that it was about getting their land back, that it was about a fresh start. And so it was not just a physical thing, it was a spiritual reality, that Jesus was coming to proclaim freedom for all who had been enslaved, not just because of land or debt, but for other things in their life. Another quote that I've read from a website this week says, "The Torah requires Jewish people in the Jubilee year to return ancestral lands to their historic owners." And I thought, it sounds a bit like the land of the Aboriginal people, you know. Have we got our Jubilee year yet and giving back to our Aboriginal people? But he continues, "With this requirement, God showed his concern for people at the lower end of the economic spectrum." You know, people who had been in debt, people who had nothing. "These provisions are designed to reduce the disadvantage of the poor, to ensure that the wealthy cannot accumulate all the land and consolidate all the power." Because that was easily what could happen. You know, the richer people would just gather up everyone else's land that they couldn't afford anymore when they got in debt. They would be wealthy and, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And we see that so much in our world. How do we institute this fairness of the Jubilee year in today's world? How do we say to somebody, right, we're going to cancel all your debts and let you start again? And believe it or not, the idea of bankruptcy comes from this principle that, you know, you get so far in debt you can't get out. Well, we'll cancel it all and then in 7 years you can start again. Or I think they've reduced it now, but it used to be 7 years. So it comes from this idea that, you know, if people get so far down, we can't just keep them there. We need to put something in place. God is about equality. God is about sharing our resources. So as Christians, how are we concerned for people at the lower end of the spectrum in our world? Do we ensure that we do not become so wealthy and accumulate all the land and power as the church? And how good are we at sharing what we have with others that don't have as much as us? The year of Jubilee was good news to the poor. It was freedom for the slaves, or freedom for the prisoners. It was about freedom that would be experienced because of Jesus. Not just physically, but spiritually. Jesus was the ultimate fulfillment of that Jubilee. The Salvation Army as a movement have traditionally been good at offering the practical physical help to people, particularly the poor or maybe those who are imprisoned by things like addiction. We have our Doorways program that runs nationally and even here in Bunbury and Busselton. And we have rehab centres that provide places of help for those that are in need. But what are we doing in our own lives that proclaims freedom, that preaches good news? Is it even good news that we proclaim? Or are we like the bad news Bob or the negative Nelly? You know, that all that comes out of our mouth is the negative and the wrong stuff that's about our world. Is what comes out of our mouth good? Good news, not bad news. Are we operating in the power of the Spirit in order to speak the good news to those? We are anointed. We are chosen by God to carry His Spirit to proclaim this same message to our world, that there is freedom, that there is hope, that there's good news coming, that Jesus has brought this. So who in your life do you know that could benefit from hearing this good news? Who could do with hearing and knowing that there is freedom, that there is release from the captivity? Who do you know is living in darkness that can't see a way out and can't see a God that loves them? How can you assure people that they can receive these things now? Today it is fulfilled. What is the prayer you want to pray? What are the words you need to proclaim? What are the actions you can do to bring Jesus' mission to this world today? We're going to sing a song that's called We Speak to Nations. And I chose this because of the prayer theme that we have today is about speaking and proclaiming the good news. We want to tell people that they can be free. That's a line in this song that we talk about. We want to speak over strongholds. We want to speak over oppression. We want to speak over the negative and bring good news to people. We want to say, be free. We want them to know that it is freedom through Jesus. And it says, are you willing to shout to the corner of the earth that Christ is King? Are we willing to do that? We speak to nations. Listen to the words. How is it that you can be chosen to proclaim this to your world? Who needs to hear it? Who needs to hear that they can be free today?